Please turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. In verse 15, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 15, and this is our title and subject this morning: Thou Shalt Not Steal, one of the famous Ten Commandments given by our Lord and our God. Thou shalt not steal. Well, I barely need to give the context for our passage this morning. This is the occasion of the giving of the Ten Commandments, the Lord God giving to Moses on Mount Sinai those Ten Commandments that we know very well. And the narrative we know very well: Moses has brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt, of course, and the Lord sent Moses, the man of God, to lead them out of slavery. And that is what Moses did, under the power of God, of course. He didn't do it by himself. It was God, really, who led the Israelites out from slavery. But Moses led them. He was their talisman, as it were. And now God is going to form a nation out of the Israelites. Eventually, the Lord will lead them to a promised land. So not only will they be a nation, but they will be given a land of their own. They're wandering in the wilderness at this present time, but the Lord has promised that they will have a home. And he is also, of course, as we see in this chapter, he is giving them laws. A nation must have its own laws as well as its own land. And really, well, there are two types of laws given to the Israelites in this period. Two types of law. One type that is given to the Israelite nation, well, these are the civic laws and the ceremonial laws and the dietary laws and all those types of things. That's the one type of law that was given to the Israelite nation. And it was just for the Israelite nation, just for them as a nation. Civic laws, of course, to maintain law and order. They were given the dietary laws that many people know quite a lot about. And that was to make them distinct as a people, a distinctive nation. They were God's people, God's nation. They were to be set apart from the rest of the world. That's why they were given these laws, to distinguish themselves from other nations, as well as to rule and to maintain law and order. They were given, of course, the ceremonial laws. And those ceremonial laws, well, we won't talk about them at length, but really, they were put in place to teach the Israelite nation about the coming of a Messiah, about what salvation would really look like. All the things that we see in the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat and the sacrifices and the blood and the high priest, that's to teach them about Christ. It was to prepare them for the coming of the Messiah. And we know that the Messiah would be born into this nation, into the Jewish nation. So it was only right that God gave them that understanding, those privileges, these particular laws, so that they would be prepared, in a sense, to receive the Messiah and know about him and to understand when he spoke of salvation and of what it meant. So this was why the nation, only the Israelite nation, was given particular laws in that sense. But now that Christ has come, now that he has come and lived and died and risen again and ascended up on high, those particular laws, they're not applicable anymore. They fulfilled their purpose. Christ has come. But then we have the second set of laws, and this is what we are to consider this morning, the moral law. the moral law. Now, these are very different. The moral law is not just for a time, for a season, not just for a nation. The moral law prevails for all time. It's for all men. The Ten Commandments, they are far higher. They tower above every other law that is given to Israel. Just in the way they're delivered to the children of Israel ought to tell us so much. God himself speaks to Moses in a tremendous way. Out of fire, out of a cloud, he speaks himself. This wasn't always the way that God would communicate his laws and his decrees. He would speak through prophets, he would speak through apostles, but not for these Ten Commandments. He himself came down and spoke these very things with his own finger. He wrote these laws. His own finger. These are far higher than any of the other laws given to the children of Israel. These laws, these Ten Commandments, they are forever. They are special. Remember, these commandments were kept in the Ark of the Covenant. They were kept in the most holy place, in the tabernacle. These 10, not all the laws, these 10 commandments. And well, when we look into the New Testament, well, these commandments are all affirmed by the apostles and by the writing of the New Testament. Well, not so long ago, just to remind you, we considered the words of the Apostle Paul in the letter to the Romans. And remember what he said? The law is written on the heart of everybody, whether they are Jew or Gentile. The law of God is written on the heart. He's not talking about the ceremonial laws or the dietary laws. He's speaking about these Ten Commandments. They're written on the hearts of each and every one of us, not just the Jewish nation, but every man, woman, and child from every tribe, tongue, and nation. These commandments, and of course, the conscience bears witness. Everybody, wherever they're from, when they hear these Ten Commandments read out, well, we all instinctively know. Doesn't matter if we've had a Christian education or not. We all instinctively know that these commandments, they're right. They're true. They're good. These commandments, because they're written on the heart of each and every one of us. Instinctively, we know that these things are right. Our conscience affirms this. So just to give you some background, and that's probably taken longer than I wanted to, but these laws, well, they are binding, they're for all people, not just for one nation, and they're for all time. We will all, each one, be judged according to these commandments. But let's look, as I promised, at this particular commandment, which is the 8th commandment. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not steal. What can we say about this particular commandment? Well, the first thing we could say is that this commandment is intimately connected with the commandment that comes before it and the commandment that comes after it. If you look at verse 14, well, again, a very famous commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, isn't adultery, what is adultery? Isn't it the ultimate act of stealing? Adultery. It's the ultimate act of stealing. Stealing somebody's husband. Stealing somebody's wife. It's a terrible act of theft. It's a very selfish act, the act of adultery. Somebody who commits adultery, well, doesn't think about anybody else, doesn't think about the family of the person he's having an affair with, doesn't think about their husband, or if it's a woman, doesn't think about the wife. It's just themselves. I must have this person. I must have this pleasure. I must have this gratification. It's a very selfish sin. And you know, all theft is very selfish. When we steal, it's a selfish act. If somebody goes into somebody's home, a burglar breaks in and takes all the jewelry, all the valuables. He's not thinking about the person he's stealing from. He's not thinking about the sentimental value, about how much sentiment this piece of jewelry has, or about other things, family heirlooms. Doesn't care about any of that. It's a selfish act. I have to take these things for myself. And dear friends, this is perhaps why we live in a society where theft and burglary and robbery is so common, because we live in a society that promotes self-interest. Just think about yourself. To sympathize with people, that's not really taught anymore. To empathize with people, don't worry about that. Put yourself first. Put your own interests first. So that's why we have so many people just stealing things, so many people committing adultery, being unfaithful, because it's self. We live in a self-interested, self-obsessed society. So perhaps that's the first point we can make about thou shalt not steal. It's an exceptionally selfish sin. But then you look at the commandment just after thou shalt not steal. Verse 16, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Well, this is speaking against lying. Lying, bearing false witness, lying either against somebody, to slander somebody, or to deceive somebody. To deceive somebody else. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not lie. But you know, stealing always involves lying. If you steal, well, then you have to be prepared to lie. And even small children understand this. If a little child is given a commandment not to take something, their parent has given them a commandment not to take that sweet. And then what does the child do? The child takes the sweet and eats it and it's gone. And then the father comes back and says, did you take that sweet that I told you not to? Did you steal it? Well, then, of course, the child has to lie. The child has to say no. Lying and stealing go together, hand in hand. And well, this is a very sad aspect of it. If we steal, we must lie. So this commandment, thou shalt not steal, is intimately connected with the commandments both before it and after it. But you know, there are some instances of stealing that are perhaps not very obvious to us, and some instances of stealing that we do, perhaps more often than we think. We know about the obvious acts of stealing, burglary and theft and bank robbery and so forth, but let me try and suggest to you that there are other acts, and we can examine ourselves in the light of these things. Perhaps in our workplaces, perhaps to our employers. Well, if we don't pull our weight, if we cut corners in our work, if we're lazy and we know we're not doing as much work as we ought to, well, we're actually stealing. We're stealing from our employers. We're being paid to do a job, to do a good job, to fulfill our duty and responsibilities. If we're not doing it, we're actually stealing our money from our employers. If we're being lazy, oh, I can't be bothered to do this. That's theft. That's stealing. And here we begin to see this commandment that's in a way more challenging to us. Perhaps you stole your job. Some people steal their jobs when they put on their CVs, and many people do this, qualifications that they don't have, experience that they never had. Oh, I'm trained in this. Or, oh, I had experience doing this. They never really had it, but they go to the interview, they have the CV, and then they get the job on the back of it. Really, they've stolen that job. They lied on their CV, so therefore they've stolen their job. That's an act of stealing. Lying and stealing go together. This is something, perhaps, I think, that maybe all of us have done at some stage. You know, you can steal in your relationships as well. A husband who does not love his wife as he ought to love his wife, who neglects her, and who doesn't do his duty as a husband, is stealing from his wife. A husband has debts, obligations to his wife. If he just neglects her, does nothing for her, he's stealing that affection from her. And likewise, a wife. A wife, if she neglects her husband, if she does not honor him and respect him as she ought, well, then she's stealing from her husband. Same with parents and children. If a parent neglects the child, he's stealing from the child that love and affection that he owes. All these things we can apply to this tremendous commandment, thou shalt not steal. Is stealing in your life in any way? Dear friends, that ought not to be. Stealing is a terrible sin. Stealing in the Bible, well, has been attached to the most villainous people. We spoke not so long ago about the choice that the Jews had to make between the Lord Jesus Christ and Barabbas. And remember Barabbas? How was he described? He was a robber. He was a thief. Judas Iscariot, the disciple who betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, he was a thief. He was the treasurer of the disciples. He was the one who had the bag of money that the disciples depended upon, but he would constantly steal from that bag of money. Judas Iscariot. Dear friends, this sin attaches to the worst people. Satan himself. Let's speak about Satan. Satan himself is a robber, is a thief. You know, Satan from the very start, he stole something from mankind. When he went into the Garden of Eden with his lies and with his deceit and with his temptation, he stole from Adam and Eve. He stole that relationship they had with God. He stole their happiness, their peace, their joy. That's what he went in to do. They have this great relationship with God. They have this peace with God. I'm going to come in, I'm going to steal it. That's what he did. Yes, Adam and Eve, well, they willingly sinned, we know that. But it's also true to say that they were robbed in the Garden of Eden. Satan went in to steal from them. And you know, this is what sin does. This is what Satan does. This is what the world does even now. The world, it tempts us away from God, into this thing, that thing, follow this pleasure, follow that pleasure. Do you know what it's doing? It's just stealing from you. It's not giving you anything. It's taking from you. It's stealing from you. It's stealing all your time and all your energy. The world steals all your time doing absolutely worthless things, pursuing after temporary pleasures. And people spend so much time and energy and money in all these worthless things. This is why so many people, well, they have so many regrets at the end of their lives. You meet unbelievers, they get old, they come to the end of their lives, they're so full of regret. Why are they so full of regret? Why are they so bitter? Because they look back upon their lives, they know that they wasted all of it. They know actually that they were robbed of all that time and energy. Doing what? Empty, temporary pleasures. They look back and they know it's too late now, but they know that they were robbed by this world and all its empty promises. That's what Satan does. That's what sin does. And it robs you most of all of what you should have. You should have a relationship with God. You should have spiritual life. You should know the love of God in your heart. But Satan steals all that away from you. Are you going to let that happen? What a foolish thing. You wouldn't sit in your house while somebody was running around you, taking all the valuables. You wouldn't let that happen. And yet you allow Satan to come in and steal everything valuable from you, from your life. Dear friends, this ought not to be. We belong to the Lord our God. Are you going to steal your life from him? This is what so many people do. They take their lives and they run away with them. They steal them from God. Your life is not your own property. I hope you understand that. Your life is God's property. Everything that you have belongs to Him. Your life, your health, your strength, your energy, your talents, those things belong to God. God has loaned them out to you. It's His property, really. It's like when you go to a library and you take out a book. Well, it's yours, it's in your possession. You can use it, you can enjoy it. But really, it belongs to the library. You can't keep it for yourself. You can't take the book and run away. That would be stealing. It belongs to the library. Well, that's just like your life. Your life has been loaned to you by God. You can't just take it and run away with it. That would be stealing. My life is just for myself. That's stealing. It belongs to God. So you have to give your life back to God. That is what we're to do with our lives. We give our lives back to God. Dear friends, these things are so important. And look at the depth of this tremendous commandment. But let me begin to close because we're running out of time. Let me tell you about something you don't have to steal. You don't have to steal your salvation. You don't have to steal your salvation. Some people, they do make the case that some stealing is necessary, that some stealing is justified. If you're poor, if you don't have any money, if you don't have any food, well then stealing is justified. It's good. It's necessary. If you're going to go without, if you're going to die, well then you have to steal. Some people say that if there's that great need in your life, well stealing is necessary. But you know, our spiritual state is like that state that I've just described. We are utterly poor in the sight of God. We can't earn our way to heaven. We don't have any good works to buy our way into heaven. We've broken the laws of God. We've broken this commandment, thou shalt not steal. We've broken, I'm sure, so many of the other commandments. And the scriptures say if you've broken just one commandment, well, you've broken all. There's no hope for you in the law of God. If you've broken just one law on one occasion, that's it, game over. You can't win acceptance with God. God is holy. God is perfect. So we're desperately poor in the sight of God. We're bankrupt. And we're in great need, dear friends. We're in tremendous need of the salvation of God. This is an urgent thing. We must have salvation or we will die. We will be called to give an account before God one day. Stand before God, and we will have to answer to Him. What have we done with the life that He gave us, that He loaned to us? What are you going to say? Oh, I took my life and I stole it. Stole it all for myself. Is that what you're going to say? Dear friends, there are grave consequences if that is all you've ever done with your life. The life that God gave you, you took it and used it all for yourself. That is a terrible sin, a terrible crime. We desperately need the salvation of the Lord. And well, God gives us salvation freely. You don't need to steal it. God gives us free forgiveness, free assurance of salvation, a free place in heaven. The washing away of all our sin, free peace, and all blessings in Christ. This is what it is to be saved by grace. We are saved freely. God freely gave His Son. Gave His Son. That's the opposite of stealing. Giving something. He gave His Son from heaven, the Son whom He loves so much. And the Son, what did the Son do? He gave Himself for us. He offered up Himself, I will take the punishment for my people. Lord, punish me instead of them. He gave himself. He loved us and he gave himself for us. That's the gospel. It's freely offered to you today. Will you take it? Do you have it? You know, this is the great irony of this day and age, this secular day and age. Everybody wants something that is free. Everybody demands something that is free. I want free this and that. I want free internet. The internet must always be free. Education must always be free. This must always be free. But the gospel, the thing that we need the most, salvation and forgiveness of sin, offered so freely, people don't want it. They turn away from it. This is the utter insanity of man, the utter foolishness of man. Free salvation, eternal life, people don't want it. Are you guilty of that sin? Are you guilty of that insanity? Dear friends, come to the Lord. If you come to God, and I say this so often, well, you will not lack anything ever again. You will not have to steal anything ever again. Everything has been given to you. You have a spiritual life. You know God. If you are in want, you pray to God. The Lord provides. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. And then at the very end, when that thing that we need the most, we cry out for, Lord, give me strength to pass through death, to pass into eternity, then we have it. We don't have to steal these things. We simply look to God, we look to Christ, and we repent, and we trust in him, and we yield our lives to him. This is the teaching. So much teaching we get from the Word of God, just from those four words. Thou shalt not steal. Don't steal your life from God, dear friends. There are grave consequences. Give your life to the Lord, and he will give everything to you. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, oh, dear Lord, forgive us afresh all our sin. Lord, we know that we are guilty of stealing. We know that we are guilty of breaking thy law. Lord, we are lawbreakers in thy sight, but we know that there is forgiveness. Forgiveness that comes from the heart of God, from a gracious God who gives so freely. Lord, help us to receive that gift and to cleave to it. Lord, may that free gift of salvation be the most precious thing to us because it is free and because Christ shed his blood so freely for us. Lord, bless us. Help us to understand these things and to yield our lives. We ask it all in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen. Amen.